Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY23 earnings conference call of J&K Bank, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rushabh Kapadia from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Q4 FY23 results conference call for Jammu and Kashmir Bank. We have with us from the management, Mr. Baldev Prakash, Managing Director and CEO, along with the management team. Without further delay, I would now like to hand over the floor to the management. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rushabh. A very good morning. Actually, it is a very early good morning, and warm welcome to all the participants. First, let me tender my regrets that we had to postpone the earnings call due to some exigencies yesterday. Following on the gloom cast by COVID-19, global economy has been struggling with overlapping crises over the last 2 years, be it the geopolitical conflicts, monetary policy tightening through insistent policy rate hikes, or the latest liquidity troubles after a series of global bank crises. While the impact appears to have been contained to some extent, yet the adverse impacts on economic growth are quite visible. With the fears on the global economic front notwithstanding, many market analysts believe that this could well be the India's decade. Basis the consumption-driven growth led by a large, young, and rising share of upper middle income population. Incidentally, IMF has projected India's growth rate at, for the financial year 2023-24, at 5.9% and average 6.1% over the next 5 years. However, future growth will be contingent on investment and India emerging as an attractive investment destination. Non-food credit growth of banks in India for the financial year 23 increased by 15.4%, primarily due to improved credit uptake in services and agriculture sector, with personal loans growing at a shade above 20%. Significant improvement has been recorded in asset quality, with banks' gross NPA falling to below 5% level. Owing to inflation concerns, RBI over the last 1 year has increased the policy repo rate by 250 basis points, resulting in increased borrowing costs, rise of EMIs, and some moderation in credit uptake, especially in the last quarter of financial year 2023. For our home turf, that is J&K, financial year 23 has been a wonderful year. A year buzzing with activity on account of infrastructure development, rail, road, tunnels, smart cities and social infrastructure, and unprecedented tourist flow of 1.88 crores during the calendar year 2022, and consequent upsurge in overall economic activity. The environment is further infused due to upcoming events scheduled in the Union Territory with regard to G20 summit. The government estimates suggests tourist inflow to surpass 2 crores during the calendar year 2023. Significant push in the budget for financial year 24 for CAPEX at 41,500 crores, that is 35% of the total budget of 118,500 crores of the Union Territory. Clearance of investment proposals of above rupees 30,000 crores with land bank of over 47,000 canals for creation of 42 industrial estates. These are all the harbingers of our accelerated growth phase in the Union Territory, and Ladakh UT also is experiencing commensurate growth in infrastructure and tourism sectors. As we announce the annual financial results, I am reminded of an oft-repeated adage, that is, all is well that ends well. In our case, financial year 22-23 has not only ended well, but has concluded on a high and historic note of success. During my first interaction with you last year, some friends had advised me not to overcommit on promises of delivery. Still, I was more acquainted with the bank, its working culture, its strengths, weaknesses and opportunities. But during the first 3 months of the at the bank itself, I had gauged the potential and the intrinsic value that the bank had, which only required to be unlocked in a calibrated manner. Now, a year later, looking back to my assessment and envisaged outcomes vis-a-vis these set of numbers, I feel immensely proud to state that on most counts, we have delivered better than promised results. Today, I see an unmistakable shift in performance as well as in the functioning of the bank. Right from operations and business to compliance and vastly improved corporate governance. The leap from turnaround to transformation in the bank is as perceptible as it is promising. While making our balance sheet stronger with every passing quarter, we have now entered into a progressive phase wherein business growth coupled with process excellence is all set to yield even better returns for all the stakeholders of the bank. I am delighted to share with you our record-breaking annual net profit of ₹1,197 crores, which is a historic and highest ever annual profit of the bank. While growing 139% on a YOY basis annually, we have also clocked an unprecedented quarterly net at ₹476 crores. Our record annual profits reflect not only the improving operational efficiency, but brings to fore the resilience, resolve and enterprising capabilities of our highly dedicated workforce. In a way, we have met market expectations and honored the trust reposed in us by all our stakeholders. We have navigated through challenges, adapted well in changing market dynamics, emerged stronger than ever and raring to scale newer heights of growth and prosperity. Our deposit growth was 6.4% on YOY and 3.5% sequentially Q&Q. Our net advances grew at 17% on YOY and 6% on Q&Q basis, which broadly corresponds to the industry credit growth and an improvement over our market guidance. Among the sectors, housing loan recorded growth of around 20% YOY. Rest of India loan book of the bank buoyed at corporate credit growth recorded YOY increase of about 22%. In J&K and Ladakh, consumer loans and housing loans recorded growth of 19% apiece. On the operating results, improvement is conspicuous on every parameter, be it pre-provisioning or bottom line. Interest income is up by 25% YOY for Q4 and 17% for the financial year. Net interest income is up by 22% YOY for the quarter and 21% for the financial year. Despite proportionately providing for the wage revision, which is due from November 22, operating profit is up by 75% YOY for the year. Cost to income ratio has moderated to 66.22% for the year against 77.18% in the previous year, despite creation of proportionate provision for the wage revision, which is due from November 22. The trend is evident and we are on course to bring it gradually down to industry level by addressing the factors. The highlight of performance during the year is reflected in vastly improved assets quality of the bank. Our gross NPA has come down to 6% level while net NPA is well below 2%, which are decadal lows on these parameters. We had envisaged a net recovery of rupees 1000 crores in NPA. The achievement far exceeds the guidance with the net recoveries of 1300 crores in NPAs and another 120 crores in technically written off loans. We continue to maintain a provision coverage ratio of above 85%. With stabilization of the upgraded core banking solution, we have greatly tied over the slippages also, which had been elevated during the first three quarters due to some technical issues. Another major highlight is the reinforcement of balance sheet strength by augmenting the capital adequacy. We raised the Tier 2 bonds over rupees 1000 crores in Q3 and significant internal accruals during the year have resulted in improved capital adequacy ratio of 15.39% with CET1 above 11%. Here, I would like to inform you that the bank had launched ESPS during Q4. ESPS is Employee Stock Purchase Scheme. During Q4, for raising of up to rupees 300 crores for equity capital from employees. And the issue was fully subscribed. However, owing to observations of statutory auditors regarding transfer of amounts by some employees from their general purpose pre-existing personal loans, that is salary overdraft and consumption loans, to their same bank account used to subscribing to the issue, we as a matter of for adopting prudent corporate governance standards have not reckoned the amount in the capital, and a decision in this regard shall be taken after getting clarifications and clearances. The bank has also onboarded a merchant banker to explore sale of stake in PNB MetLife. Employee productivity and profitability has improved significantly. Net interest margin during Q4 was 3.94%, and for the financial year 2023, it stood at 3.89%. There has been some increase in cost of deposit due to higher growth rate in term deposits, which is a result of hardening of interest rates prompting some shift from saving to term deposit. However, our CASA at 54.10% is at a healthy level. We expect our NIM to remain strong as a good amount of our dated securities portfolio, that is about around 8,000 crores at lower current yields, is getting redeemed this year, which will get reinvested at a higher yields. At a higher yields, improving our returns on investment portfolio. Board of Directors of the bank have recommended dividend at 50% of the face value of shares. Bank had paid the last dividend to its shareholders for the financial year 2016. So the resumption has been after 7 long years. Looking ahead, we recognize that the financial landscape is constantly evolving, but we are highly optimistic about our growth for the current financial year. With various transformational projects underway, we expect a surge in business along with upward movement in other financial indicators. Growth across all segments will be our prime focus, besides increasing our footprint in strategic areas of our country as part of business expansion and risk diversification while retaining our stronghold in J&K and Ladakh. I need some hot water. Let me put it on record that striking a balance between digital presence and physical relevance, we have set out on a transformational drive that will accelerate business growth while enhancing customer experience and adding delight to their digital journeys. Towards this end, we are making rapid advances in becoming a tech bank by adapting to best global practices and investing in advanced technologies from open banking API, STP platforms, and cloud adoption to AI and ML-based analytics to drive innovation and improve business outcomes. Lastly, we celebrate this milestone. We remain mindful of the complex challenges that lie ahead due to ever-changing global and regional economic landscape. But with a deeply dedicated team, the support of our customers, and our unwavering commitment to excellence, we are confident as well as prepared to adapt to the new realities. Together, we have achieved this historic milestone, and I look forward to our collective journey towards a shared future filled with ever great achievements. Once again, I thank you all and acknowledge your guidance, support, and trust, and we expect it to continue in the coming days. For financial year 2024, our guidance will be credit growth of about 15%, NIM in the range of 3.75%, CASA in the range of 55%, cost to income in the range of 60%, ROA around 0.90%, ROE around 14%, gross NPA around 4.5%, net NPA around 1.5%. I'll be glad to have your questions now. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Manish Ostwal from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for delivering a great set of numbers for the financial year 2023 and surpassing your guidance by a big margin. So thank you to your leadership and team J&K for that. My question on the first on the sir balance sheet growth on the quarter to quarter, you have seen 9% growth on the balance sheet side and 6% loan book side, but the NI down by 1%. So is there any month-end related loan growth or lower category of spread book growth during the quarter? Can you explain why there is an anomaly in the NI side versus the balance sheet growth?
Yeah. Manish, thank you very much and good morning. And you have been always a great guidance and support to us. As far as this last quarter decline in net interest is because of the factor that there was a continuous growth in the policy repo rate and there was a demand from our customers that our profitability was okay, so some relief was passed on by us voluntarily to our customers. That is 0.50 basis point to across the board all customers and 1 basis point to our customers of weaker sections. So because of that, there is a dip in this net interest income, particularly in the last quarter. That was the only reason.
Okay. Secondly, sir, you guided your guidance, the cost-to-income ratio 60% from the current financial year 66.2%. So, which is a significant improvement. But if you take the over the medium-term journey for this line item to play out because of the increase in productivity across the business lines, so can we expect the journey can reach to 50% in 2 to 3 years time frame? How do you see that thing to play out in your assessment?
Yes, Manish, actually the trajectory will be like this only. So for this year, we are targeting 60%, and going forward, it should be coming to the range of 54-55% as per the industry standard. Maybe another 1 or 2 years, we should be there.
Okay, and lastly, sir, any update on the equity capital raise plan for the bank for the financial 2024, any plan for that?
So as of now, we are adequately capitalized. And we may require growth capital, but we have to go to the board. As of now, we have not approached the board. Hopefully, in this quarter, we will reach out and will advise you suitably. But capital raising plans will be obviously we'll be looking at in the third quarter or fourth quarter.
And lastly, sir, you've given a guidance of credit growth of 15%. So similar will be the deposit growth or how?
Deposit growth, we are expecting around 10%. That is what the industry guidance also is there. We are in line with that guidance. So we are expecting 9 to 10% in deposits or 11% maximum. And credit, of course, will be around 15%.
Thank you very much, sir, and pleasure to talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Manish.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Ladhani from Mahindra Manulife. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to, you know, get your thoughts on the auditor qualification that is there in the report.
Yes. Good morning, Ankit. So as I have covered it in my opening remarks, so we had a issue of employee stock purchase scheme in Q4 of the last year. And this issue was oversubscribed. The issue size was 300 crores in the equity capital. But the auditors, some of our employees, they have utilized their existing limits in the personal loan limits, and transferred the money from these limits to the saving bank account. This money in the ESPS was invested from the employees' saving bank accounts. So there was a difference of opinion between the bank and the statutory auditors. They said that this is indirectly funding of your own equity by way of granting loan to your employees. So since there was a difference of opinion, so as a matter of abundant caution and the best corporate governance standard, we have not reckoned this amount in the capital, and the decision will be taken after getting the clarifications and clearance from respective authorities. So this is that.
Okay. Okay, sir. And one more question. The deposit growth for this year is actually at close to 6%, which is, you know, lower than what has been there for the industry, as well as say, how do you expect it to move from 6% currently to 10% in the next year?
Yes, Ankit. Yes, I understand that the growth in deposit has been little subdued during this year, but now this year there will be two plans for improving the deposit. One will be that we are focused on improving CA part of SA by both ways, by providing the digital solutions to our customers, and the second, earmarking the dedicated current account marketing teams for the niche areas, particularly in our J&K territories. The second strategy will be that we are expanding in rest of India operations. The purpose will be also for deposit growth besides the advances. So we are sure that these two steps will help us in improving the deposit.
But any particular reason that you can pinpoint for the, you know, lower the industry deposit growth in 6%, or it was just competition and you were not ready to say pay higher interest rate, something on those lines?
No, actually, there was, as of now, in our area of operations, we don't foresee any stiff competition, though we welcome the competition because it improves our efficiency also. But as of now, I'm sure that one or two factors may be counted, that now the government deposits, which used to be in the shape of current account or same bank account, they are shifting through PFMS, and the efficiency of managing the funds has improved on the government level. So that has also affected our deposit. But finally, this is being compensated by mobilizing the retail deposits from the general public. And also, Ankit, I would like to inform you that we are adequately capitalized, adequately the liquidity is there for the financial year 23. A large number of short-term investments which we don't pursue deposit growth aggressively because of the large number of short-term investments we had in the treasury.
Okay. That's from my end. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ankit.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Ashwini Agarwal from Demeter Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Congratulations to you and your team for delivering an excellent set of numbers and exceeding the guidance and the targets that you had shared with us earlier. A couple of questions. One is that in your opening remarks, you spoke about expanding your presence in the rest of India. And I just wanted to ask, what is going to be your loan growth strategy outside the state of or outside the UTs that you're present in?
Mm-hmm.
Because historically, you know, that has been a pain point for the bank, where you have gone and lent in geographies to borrowers who were you were not familiar with, or your bank was not familiar with, and that resulted in stress in loans. So how are you going to pursue the loan growth strategy outside of your core area of operation?
Okay. Ashwini, thank you very much and good morning to you. Very good question actually you have asked. The focus on rest of India operations, particularly the loan growth, is continuing from the last year. And if you see, the growth in rest of India business is higher than our overall business in the advances. So the same strategy will be followed and continued during this year also. The strategy was that we are focused aggressively on booking the quality corporates, that is high-rated corporates, AAA-rated companies, and also the good Navratnas and Maharatnas. We have been successful in implementing this strategy in our rest of India business. We will continue to do that. Besides, this year, we will be adding the focus on home loan segment during this year. So I think this rest of India business, with a calibrated approach and a cautious approach, we should be able to make a good amount of business in our rest of India territory and branches. We have improved in the
underwriting.
We have improved, Ashwini, there is improvement in credit underwriting skills of the staff also.
Okay. So the second question relates to your response to the first participant, where you said that you'd given a rebate on the interest rate, which is why your NIM or net interest income did not grow during the first quarter. So this is on the loan side you gave a rebate to
your borrowers. Yes, yes, yes. Across the board, 50 basis points, and for weaker sections, 1%.
Okay. Was this a one-time thing, or that's on an ongoing basis going to continue?
No, this was a one-time thing because of there was a demand from the customers, and we acceded to their demand. Only one time.
Okay. And sir, coming back to the auditor's qualifications, I had two follow-up questions. So there were two qualifications actually. One is that some people borrowed money to subscribe to the shares, as you pointed out. But the second one was also that some of the subscription money came in after the shares were allotted, which I think is sort of operationally unacceptable because you can't issue shares unless the money is received. And the related question is that how many such instances are there? I mean, if you could share the numbers of how many employees subscribed, out of which how many people had borrowed, and how many employees put in the money after the shares of issue. So I just want to understand the scale of this trespass, if I can use the word.
Yes. Should I ask my CFO to respond, Ashwini?
Yes, please.
Good morning, Ashwini. This is Pratik Punjabi. I'm the CFO with J&K Bank. I'll answer the question in the way that we ran the or implemented the entire scheme exactly in the way ASBA functions. So at the time of application, immediately Lien was marked on the saving bank accounts of any employee wishing to participate in the scheme. So the issue closed at 5 p.m. on 21st of March and NRC was called and allotments were decided. So operationally, by the time it was all decided, it was beyond 6. And then 22nd of March is a holiday. So the staff had left, but we still ran the query or the program from our remote accesses and the money was debited. Very few, like out of 274.75 crores collected, hardly few lakhs was spilled over and the query didn't run, which got collected on 23rd of March. So in effect, we collected exactly in line with the SEBI guidelines and ASBA functioning.
Okay. And sir, how many people are sort of, you know, in this situation where they borrowed money to fund their savings bank account?
No, actually, Ashwini, the total subscription was 9,800 employees, but okay. There was no loan for this purpose from the bank side. Bank has never granted any loan for the purpose of investment in this ESPS by the employees. That is one. The another thing was that the money was debited from the same bank accounts of the employees. And that same bank accounts, in some cases, we are not able to understand whether that money has come from the loan account or it has come from his saving, any saving account. So that's very difficult to understand that how this money has come in the same bank account.
That is already there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's all I had. Sir, all the best and, you know, I wish you the best to achieve all the very, very ambitious and aggressive targets you set out. I'm sure you'll do very well in the coming year.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Debesh Agarwala from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, three questions from my end. What is the current outstanding balance in the restructured loan account as on 31st March?
Yes.
Good morning,
Lish. I'm requesting Mr. Suja Andrabi, our General Manager Credit, General Manager IAPM. He will respond to this query, please.
Yes, sir. The restructured book is around 2,400 crores there, out of which around 1,200 crores is in the NPA, and we are holding around 78% to 80% of the provision against the NPAs, and overall provision against the restructured book is in the range of 48% to 50%.
Sir, how has been the collection experience from the restructured book in last financial year, that is FY23?
Yes, it has been very good. In fact, the restructured book has come down by around 1,200 crores during this year. And we had a very good experience. We had upgradations. We had a lot of recoveries in this. That is
hardly any slippages.
Slippages have taken.
The book is holding well.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Divis.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star then one. The next question is from the line of MB Mahesh from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I'm sorry if I think we missed the earnings update. What are the slippages for the quarter?
Yeah. Mahesh, good morning.
Good morning. We have gross slippages around 1,000 crores for this quarter for Q4, but they are significantly lower than what we used to have in the first three quarters. I can share with you, June quarter we had a gross slippage of 2,200 crores. Then in September we had it around at 1,800 crores. Then in December it was around 2,500 crores. But during the first three last quarters, it has come down drastically, and it's around 995 crores gross slippages. But I can assure you that April was a significant downfall in this, and it was in double digits only. It has not even crossed 100 crores.
So this 995 crores, can you give some breakup as to what has resulted in this for this quarter?
Yes, it's both corporate as well as retail. Something two-thirds is from the corporate side and rest is in retail, but most of it has been upgraded, and the net slippages for the whole year is at, yes, there were some technical issues and those have been addressed, and everything is addressed now. And from April, even March has been very good. April has been significant improvement. It's only in double digits, and we'll have further improvement in this.
Mahesh, can I just come in here? The issue was relating to our upgradation of technology platform. We had shifted from Finacle 7 platform to Finacle 10 in the month of June. After that, there were some technical glitches in the system, and because of that the slippages were happening. Though we were able to upgrade it immediately, but we were not able to fix the issue. So in the month of January we have fixed the issue. After that you find there's a drastic improvement in the slippages.
Thanks, sir. And in this year, do you have any major resolutions which is still pending on the corporate side that you are waiting for?
Yes.
What is it?
We have resolutions coming from NCLT, both in we should expect recovery of around 300 crores from there. Then we are also selling assigning some loan assets to NARCL. They are doing their due diligence, and by June quarter or by the September quarter, there should be a transfer of around another 300 crores through NARCL. So that would give a big boost. Then we are also planning to sell some of the loan assets to ARCs, but to, that will take some time. That will perhaps happen in Q2. And there are other recovery measures that we are taking in the UT of J&K, because most of the portfolio is on sole banking basis. So
Mahesh, the process which we started last year for recovery and the resolutions of NPAs, particularly the bigger NPAs in the rest of India, the quite old one also, that will continue, and we have a book there which we understand that book has now matured and the recovery will continue getting from those accounts.
Sorry, just one clarification. Is it fair to assume that FY24 credit costs will also head closer to zero or probably?
Yeah, because we will have the this provision write backs. So sure. This will be zero or less than even that.
Sure. Thanks, sir.
And we have been conservative in the writing back of provisions. We have maintained higher provisions. So those will also be unlocked during this year.
Perfect, sir. None. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ashish Goyal from Invest Savvy Portfolio Management. Please go ahead.
Okay. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. Very happy to see a consistent improvement in performance. I think quite a few of the queries have been answered, but I have two queries which remain. One is the retail profitability quarter on quarter is down by some 100 crores, 113 crores. Is what part of that was because of the rebate offered, and is the rebate a reduction, a permanent reduction in the rate or the spread, or is it like for the quarter has been offered and next quarter it will not be offered? That is one. And the other is, in terms of the impact of slippages, what is the impact of slippages on the profitability? So while you've given, you know, it's very encouraging to see that slippages have come down from 2,200 crores to 900 crores and possibly going to be less than 300 crores. In terms of profitability, how much does that translate to profitability? These are the two questions, please.
Yes. Thank you very much, Ashish. The first thing is that the discount of interest rate was a one-time measure which was given to the deserving sections of our customers. And after that, we are holding that rate and we are not discounting further anything. That is one. And another thing is the slippages. Yes, obviously the slippages will have the positive impact on the profitability. Because ultimately, though earlier also the slippages were going, were recovered immediately, but now with ab initio, this being contained by following up at a level before SME.
Yeah, exactly. And you see, there were slippages. The slippages were very much on the higher side during the first three quarters of the month, of the year, and even in January month. Like our MD sir said, that there were some technical issues. We had done a lot of customization in the previous version of the Pinnacle, which were actually not migrated to the new version. So there were some technical issues, and due to those technical issues, the accounts got downgraded. But those were upgraded also immediately. And interest reversals actually did not happen. So we didn't have to reverse any interest on that part. It was a, almost a simultaneous downgrade and then an upgrade. So there was no adverse impact actually of those slippages on the interest. So you might have seen that the interest didn't fall during those periods because we didn't have to reverse the interest. Those were almost simultaneously upgraded. And now exactly, now when these slippages are down, definitely there is an improvement in overall working and the overall the NPA, there is no new accretion actually. There is a decretion in the NPAs day by day, and we are expecting it to go further down by 700 to 800 crores. Like we have today given the, we have reported a figure of 5,200 crores. We are expecting it to go below 4,500 crores by the year end. So actually there will be an unlocking and there won't be any interest reversal. That is, interest income will not get down.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Arjun Bhatia from Bowhead Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes. Yes, Arjun. Good morning. You are audible, Arjun.
As the current participant, the current participant has left the queue. We'll move on to the next participant. And the question is from the line of Amit P, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, sir, and congratulations for your great performance. So I have two questions. So one question is, it is regarding the MetLife stake what you have got. So on that, I wanted some clarity in terms of when the sale would take place and what is the approximate valuation of that.
Okay.
Yeah, actually we had given this guidance last time also that we are exploring the possibility of divestment of this PNB MetLife stake. And the amount that is there in our books is almost 60 crores. And the valuations that are actually we had obtained the valuation previously also, so they valued the company at around 12,000-13,000 crores. So that gives this value of almost 375 crores to this investment. And the merchant banker has already been onboarded. In fact, we had onboarded the merchant banker in the Q4 itself. And let us see, it can materialize during this quarter or in the next quarter.
Okay, got it. Understood. Thanks for that response. And I have another question. So that is like we have discussed all the positive aspects of how the bank is performing, but coming to the negative aspects that what we foresee in the next, say, 1 year of time, is there anything that can be highlighted or can be presented?
I think, Amit, the major focus will be how to improve our deposit portfolio. That is a challenge for the industry also and for us also. obviously there the more focus will be required, more energy will be invested there. So, and I'm sure because the acceptability of the brand in particularly in our home territories will help us in improving our liabilities franchise. And besides that, this the efforts will be augmented by our expansion plans in rest of India, as we have already covered in our opening remarks.
Okay, great. So coming to, one more question I have got. So like looking at the branch opening, we see a lot of branches that are opened in the state of Jammu and Kashmir and Union Territory of Ladakh. So how about the branches in South India or the other parts of India? How much branches the target is to add for the next 1 year?
For rest of India, we have planned around 20 to 25 branches in the major cities, rest of India also and other parts, South India also and other parts of the country. But as far as our home territories are concerned, I think we have adequate coverage as of now. Yes, we will be thinking the new branches only at strategic locations and otherwise whatever will be required for financial inclusion, that minimum will be ensuring in our home territories.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you so much. I'm good.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Sonal from Bowhead Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on very good numbers and the turnaround we have, come through. I had several questions. Apologies if, I joined a little late. So firstly, what is the outlook? All these questions are pertaining to 2024. So what is the outlook for for advances growth, for provisioning, for, gross slippages and, recoveries as well as NIMs?
Sonal, good morning. Outlook for advances, as I've covered in my opening remarks, we are looking to a growth rate of around 14-15%, in the range of around 15% in advances. That is very much in the line with the industry growth estimates. And the second question is relating to NIM. I think we are holding NIM at around 3.89 to 3.90%, given a little bit maybe the challenge in the liability franchise. I think we should be holding NIM around 3.75 to 3.8, definitely in this range. And traditionally, we have been holding this range in our bank. As far as assets quality is concerned, I think we have already responded to the queries on assets quality. We are maintaining the quality of our assets at a level where the slippages are now happening. Very few in the last month, in the month of April, it is less than 100. And I think we should be holding in the similar range also. So from assets quality point of view, I can assure you that you will be only surprised to see the positive sides of assets quality.
So provisioning required in FY24, as well as what kind of employee cost and other OPEX growth would you expect?
Can I ask our CFO to respond, Sonal?
Sonal, good morning. This is Prateek here. See, even in financial year 23, we have almost had a flat operating expenses when compared to financial year 22. This is despite the fact that we had proportionately provided for employee cost, which ticked in from November 22. In that regard, we expect it to remain flatter. We don't expect any significant changes. In fact, our current operating expenses also includes two one-off items, so of close to 100 crores. So, our guidance would be flat.
Flat total operating expenses or flat employee cost expenses?
Total operating expenses. I mean, when I say flat, I take it as like 1% increase or something.
Okay, and sir, that's very heartening to know. I must congratulate the MD, sir. He's really turned around the bank along with his team, both on every aspect, and that in a very short period of time. Sir, in terms of SMA1, SMA2, if it's possible for you to share the current numbers as well as the outlook, and in what time frame do you think you will get this also under control, you know? And yeah.
Yeah. Sonal, SMA-1 and SMA-2, and Sujat will be talking on this.
SMA-1 and SMA-2, the potential NPA's portfolio was, if you talk of March 22, it was around 10,470 crores on that date. So due to continuous follow-up at the level of, from the level of our MD sir to the grassroots level, that the desk officer at the branch, so there has been significant improvement. I should say this year was the path-breaking year for, as far as our asset quality is concerned, right in recovery in NPAs as well as controlling our SMAs. So as of March, I can share with you, it has been reduced by more than 50%, and we had SMA 1 and SMA 2 aggregate balance of 5,300 crores only as on 31st of March 2022 against 10,500 crores as on 31st of March 2022. There is significant improvement. Yes.
What is the SMA 1 out of this and what is the SMA 2 out of this? And historically, you know, after a week or so, because of technical reasons, your SMA falls, you know, there is some technical issue which still needs to be fully sorted out, you know. So if you could give a sense, has it further reduced in middle week and what that number is, you know, what is the breakup between SMA 1 and SMA 2?
Month, you can see by 20th, it will not be even 3%, 2% of the our advances portfolio. Yes, a standard SMA.
What is the figure of SMA 1 and SMA 2 out of this?
Yes, sir. SMA 1, as on 31st of March, it was 5,200 crores, and the SMA 2 was only 100 crores.
SMA 2 was only 100 crore. And sir, can you give a mid-month number in April so that we have the context? Any mid-month number in the April, you know, which would reflect what the SMA 1, SMA 2 is
calling? I don't have it with me, but as on 29th April, I remember it was just 2,900 crores. This SMA 1 and SMA 2 combined was less than 3,000 crores. You know. It was less than 3,000 crores.
Sir, next question I had was that unlike all the banks in India, you know, you have significant headroom to expand considering a loan deposit ratio is very, very favorable compared to the banks. So you could pull out from your investment book and still grow your loan book. Despite that, why do you think your margins will fall? Because, you know, you have the lever to shift from investment to loan book. So unlike other banks, why should you also go through the same trajectory of interest rate fall? Secondly, you know, in your retail portfolio, how much time does it take you to pass through the interest and what is the average duration of your, you know, personal loans and retail loan portfolio, you know, so how long does would it take to reprice that part of the portfolio?
Yeah, Sonal, Ishaq, can you respond?
Yes, sure. Sonal, one part of this question, like you said that why are we actually giving a lower guidance on the NIM? Though we have opportunities on the loan book side to expand and some shift from investments to the loans. That's correct. Previously, our risk appetite was very low. Our capital was low and so we couldn't have much of the risk-weighted assets on our book. But now that the capital adequacy has improved over the time, definitely it makes a lot of sense to shift from the low-yielding investments to loans. And one more thing, MD sir in his presentation, he gave a number like 8,000 crores of dated securities that are actually getting redeemed this year. During the low interest rate regimes over the last 2 years, what we had been actually pursuing in the investments, where we were going with very short-term investments, CDs, T-bills, and short-term dated securities. But the yields on those were in the range of 4 and 5%. Now, with the redemption of so much of an amount, definitely a part of it, like MD sir also said that we will not be pursuing deposit growth in excess of 8 and 9% in the rate. That is one part. That is an indication that there will be some funding of the loans from the investments that are getting actually redeemed. So, though we are given a conservative this estimate of the NIM, definitely, but the thing you put forward is very valuable, and we are also already contemplating that we have to shift some part of the low yielding investments, and actually we have got the opportunity. These are actually getting redeemed this year, and these will actually, there will be a shift from this to the loan book. But it will be a calibrated one. It will be a calibrated one. So the funding will be from this to the other part.
So, sir, if I've understood you correctly, your NIMS outlook is little on the conservative side. It could be different. And as you continue to reprice, maybe your outlook for NIMS in FY24 could be higher than in FY24. And my second question was, is my understanding correct? And my second question was, as far as your retail loan book is concerned, personal loan book is concerned, you know, how long does it take you to reprice? So maybe if you're not fully able to reprice this year, would that happen in 2025? And therefore, would the NIMS further expand in FY25?
Yeah. Sonal, just a moment. So, Ashutosh will be responding.
Sonal, I'm Ashutosh Sareen. Actually, our the retail loan book, majority of which comprises the personal loans which have been given to the government employees. It is on a fixed interest basis. Although it is linked with our 3 years MCLR, but the rate of interest is fixed for the full duration of the loan, and they generally are in the range of 7 years.
Oh, I see. Sir, yeah. Going forward, are we changing this model?
No, Sonal, because we are having a good margin there. So, and there is acceptability of the scheme among the government employees, so we will be holding this.
And the slippages are?
And slippages are hardly any slippages there. And Sonal, on the first part of your question about the NIM, I think we have kept it conservative. We will see how the market behaves and how we are able to shift the investment book to loan. Maybe after 1 or 2 quarters, we will have the guidance revised.
So lastly, I think the bank has done a fabulous job, you know, in the last 1.5 years on every front we can think of. We've been tracking the bank for 9 years. You never seen a period like this in the last 9 years and these kind of initiatives at the bank. So my heartiest congratulations to the team. And one humble suggestion, which we could, take it to a different direction. Maybe we should, sir, hold future quarterly con calls after releasing the presentation, you know. At least give the investment community, you know, a few hours or a day to go through the presentation and hold it in a time which is convenient so that we get the maximum attention and attendance from the investment community, which may not have been possible today or in the last quarterly call because the presentation came out later. Just a humble suggestion as a friendly shareholder from me.
Definitely, Sonal. Note this and we'll ensure it.
Actually,
thank you so much.
This was a unprecedented thing. The board meeting, it extended very late into the night. And Sitil, you will appreciate that immediately when these results were disseminated through the exchanges, I immediately started sending copies of the mail along with this investor update. And that was at 2:45 in the morning.
But sir, the investors won't be reading the report at 2:45 in the morning.
They were all asleep, but I ensured you that at least when they get up in the morning, they have it in their bed.
We will ensure Sonal in the future also. We see
maybe, you know, call it 10 a.m., 11 a.m. would have made more sense. This is some simple suggestion, you know.
It's a very good suggestion.
Well taken, sir. Yes.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Sonal.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arjun Bhatia from Bowhead Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you please provide your risk-weighted assets figure as of Q4?
Yeah, yes. Arjun, our CRO is going to respond to your question.
Our risk-weighted assets, the total risk-weighted assets were 67,367. And our market risk rate was 1850 and operational risk rate was 8154. That total works out to 77,373. And going by the risk density, we have been able to maintain the risk rate density, total risk rate in the range of 53%. And that's a very healthy sign, sir.
And any outlook for risk weighted assets to total assets ratio next year?
Yeah. We'll be going ahead with the same guidance and trying to maintain this risk weighted asset density. If you also look at the portfolio that has been added to the water portfolio, out of the 4,000 around portfolio, around more than 2,600-700 crores has been the AAA, which has entailed a very low risk weight of 20%, and that has helped us in reorienting our portfolio and having an optimal risk return trade-off.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Arjun.
Arjun, I would like to add one thing here. You see, the risk weights actually, like our CRO said, that the incremental risk weights are lower because we are actually now lending to a better credit quality portfolio. We are having better rated these borrowers now. But one thing we have to see, our risk-weighted assets, you may see, if you compare it with some other banks, like the private, the public sector banks, you may see, say that it is a little higher. But there is a reason. We have got a very good portfolio of the government employees of J&K and Ladakh. Though there are no delinquencies in that, no credit costs involved, it's a very secure portfolio, but the risk weight that is applied to that is 100%. 75%. So it is actually that should qualify, like that could have attracted 20%. Like our own employees, it could have attracted a very low risk weight. But then the regulatory guidelines are there, so it attracts a higher risk weight. That actually contributes to this higher risk weighted assets of our book, though the risk is not that much.
Got it. Understood.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hiten Boricha from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, sir. Good morning. So most of my question has been answered. Just missed the numbers of PNB MetLife valuation. You have given the valuation is around 10-12,000 crore and the value in our book was around 60 crores or 50 crore. I just missed that number, sir.
Yeah, it is, the investment is 60 crores, fine? So it's the book value. It's the book value at the face value of 10 rupees per share. So we have got actually 6 crore shares of the, this company. So
okay.
At the market value of 65 rupees, the value, the overall value of the investment, it comes to 370-380 all to that extent. So there will be a gain of around 330 to 340 crores in that investment if it is offloaded.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Ethan.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Guru Raj Kalyan from Kalyan Consultants. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and congratulations on excellent numbers. I have two questions. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, Gurvan, please go ahead.
Yeah. The first question was regarding the PNB MetLife. So you're saying that the value is around approximately 330 odd crores. That's my question now. My larger governance question and my concern since last night has been two things. One around the extraordinarily elongated board meeting, which makes me uncomfortable, honestly, as an investor. Second is the qualifying comments made by the auditors, which you responded by saying that, listen, I mean, there's absolutely everything is in line. But they mentioned two things. One, they mentioned very specifically that the bank employees should not have been availed of this decision to begin with. And it's also against the regulations. Could you help me as a lay investor who has a very large part of my portfolio in J&K Bank because I believe in the bank? This was a very rude shock for me. Could you take some time to help me go through this, please?
Yes, Gururaj, first of all, apologies for that. This meeting went on long because it has happened because of our discussions were continuously on this topic only. We were trying to put forth our point, but then finally we acceded to the point of view of the CSAs. Let me make it very clear that this scheme, the 2023 scheme of ESPS, is just like the scheme which happened in the last 2021, and the same auditors also gave the clearance for the 2022 scheme. So when the earlier scheme, which is a similar scheme for the employees, has been already approved by the statutory auditors and other authorities also, which we have gone exactly with the similar scheme, with the same process, and there's nothing different between the earlier scheme and the new scheme as far as the ESPS is concerned. Number two is that as per the scheme's regulation, the bank was not supposed to give any loan for purchase of shares to the employees. And we adhere to that, confirm that we have not given any loan to the employees specifically for purchase of ESPS and followed all the terms of the scheme. That is one. The other thing is that the facilities which they availed are in the form of personal loans, consumption loans. And these personal consumption loans are having the salaries of the our employees also getting credited every month. So these are just like the current account overdraft being used as a semi-bank account. Number three, this money has gone not from the loan account. It has gone from the same bank account of the customer, of the employees. So I think there's no, from our point of view, we are very clear that we have followed the scheme appropriately. And over and above, then when there was a difference of opinion between the bank and the statutory auditors, we have gone ahead and sought the opinion of a reputed law firm of the country. They also agreed to the point of view which were put forth by bank. So we are sure that we have not done anything wrong, but it is a matter of time that we will get the clearances and clear this in that team. And whatever we have done is a matter of prudence only and in the best corporate governance practices.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. The concern is because of the extraordinarily strong language of the auditors. I very rarely see such strong language in the dissenting note. That's one. Thank you. But anyway, thank you. I have understood the situation better. And yes, the final question I have was the PNB Met. Is it a question of if or is it a question of when?
Yes, it is difficult to say that when it will happen. We will take a call on this. But as of now, it will be difficult for us when it will happen. Yes, depending upon the circumstances and the valuations, we will take a call and we'll inform accordingly.
Understood. So it's on the cards depending on the right price.
Yes, yes.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Guru Raj.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal from Bowhead Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, couple of questions. Firstly, sir, was there any other reason why the board meeting got, postponed, or the employee accounting, cost accounting was the, piece of accounting was the only reason? This is my first question.
Sonal, as I have told earlier, that this was, we were trying to influence, convince our auditors, and we also gave the example of the last ESPS. But they were also put for their point of view. So there were some discussions, and that was the reason of the board meeting, which went on little late. And no other thing was there, and this was the only issue of discussion.
So secondly, on the Metalife, just re-clarification on numbers, because I think two different numbers came up in response to someone else's question. So for the sake of clarity, can you recap? What is the book value? Is it 60 crores? And what is the market value of Metalife? And therefore, the difference of the two, what is the gain? Because the previous numbers were not adding up.
Yeah.
It adds up, Sonal. So you see, 60 crores is the face value. These are 6 crore shares of face value 10 that we are maintaining. The company is valued at around 13,000 crores as on date. So that gives actually the value of the, if we say the split value of the share, it comes to 65 rupees roundabout. So if you go with that, the total amount that will be realized, it will be almost 400.
I'm sorry.
So the realized value is the market value is 400 crores?
Yeah, and the gain will be 330 to 340 crores.
Okay, understood. Sir, lastly, you know, I think in the opening remarks you mentioned, which I missed, but I came to know now, that there has been some rebate given to the customers. Can you please explain what that rebate is? Will it happen this quarter or subsequent quarters? And were the margins low because of that rebate? And if that rebate was to be reversed, what could be expansion in the, you know, margins going forward?
Yeah. So this was a one-time activity only. Ashutosh, can you respond?
Yes. Sonal, Ashutosh here. Because of the consistent, persistent hike in repo rates from the RBI side during the last financial year, so we have been receiving requests from the trading and the business community and the other stakeholders also, that the bank should come forward given the comfortable profitability position of the bank, and as a goodwill gesture in the towards the last month of the quarter three, we decided to reduce the interest by 50 basis points across the board for trading and MSME customers, and for government sponsored schemes we did it to one step ahead by 1%. So full impact of that came in this quarter.
And this was a one-time decision only.
Sir, what was the impact on NIMS because of this?
So the total actually, you see, if you go for the quarter, the total impact on the NII would have been 50 crores. For the quarter I am talking of, for the quarter March.
Sir, have you reversed this in Q1 or it will remain like this even in Q1?
There is no reversal actually happening. This was a relief that was given to them, so there won't be a reversal.
That is the reduction in the interest rate on individual accounts.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant. So this reduction stays or the reduction has been reversed gone back to normal in Q1?
It stays.
So it is not a one-off in that sense. It is a continuing thing from the...
It is like this, the spread, the borrower spread actually, it was actually reduced.
So the impact is almost 150 crores per quarter or 600 crores.
50 crores per quarter.
No, 50 crores was for 1 month. No, you did it in month.
Coming quarter, it was done in December 2022. So effective date was 1st December 2022. So in Q3, the impact was only for 1 month. In Q4, the impact was full quarter. And the whole quarter impact is almost 50 crores. You see, our the portfolio that is actually linked to this is somewhere like 33,000 crores. So if you go with that, so the impact was in this range, 50 crores for the quarter.
So sir, as the cost goes up of deposits, etc., at some point of time, would you take away this spread and make it back to normal at some point of time during the year? Or it will stay throughout the year, or is too early for me to ask you that question?
I think let us wait and see. Depending upon the competitive interest rates offered by other banks, we will take a call on this. We have to be competitive with the market.
And because these are actually floating rate loans, and these get repriced, and even the spreads also get reviewed after some time. In this case, I think the review may be due next year. So all these things get reviewed over a period of time. It is not that it will remain like this forever.
So can I say this was led by market forces consideration, you trying to maintain your market share or taking advantage of this, not by any other consideration?
No. It was basically to retain the customer and the market competitiveness.
Your competitiveness.
And at the right time, you would do whatever it takes to, you know, take advantage of that.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kayur Asher from PNB MetLife. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thank you for this opportunity and many congratulations to you and the entire team for a good set of numbers. Sir, most of my questions have been answered. Just one thing.
Sir, in the earlier calls, we had guided about targeting a potential rating upgrade. So, sir, just wanted to understand where are we on that and what are basically the expectations of these rating agencies, whether they are targeting any financial milestones for us to achieve before they take this call.
Yeah, Piyush, thank you very much, and you have asked a good question. I was expecting this question from any of you. So, we are expecting rating upgrade, as I have also discussed this in the last quarter. And hopefully the numbers should give the confidence to the rating agencies this time, and we should get a rating upgrade.
Sir, just to follow up on that, sir, is there a rating review timeline that we would be considering, or?
No, we will be approaching now after these results. We are shortly approaching the rating agencies and requesting them to review it.
Annual
review is also due now.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Kiyur.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, and thank you to all the participants for joining in today. For any further questions, queries, comments, or anything else, the team is always available, and you can also direct your queries to our investor relations desk, and we will definitely respond. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.